Now, first, let's look here at verse 12. It says, "And the days of John, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of earth suffers violence, and violent take it by force." Right? Right? I want you guys to look at that verse closer. "Now the kingdom of earth suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Right? Wrong. "The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." What on earth does that mean? I mean, is God up in heaven telling the angels to, like, load up the artillery, we got another attack coming, we got to get ready because the kingdom of heaven, we're suffering violence and people are trying to take us by force? Is that what he's talking about? Because it would make sense if he said the kingdom of earth suffers violence and the violent take it by force, because that's what people all do all over earth. That's what kingdoms do. Nation goes up against nation, they fight each other, and violent men take nations by force, right? But not so in the kingdom of heaven, right? I mean, there's no battle going on in heaven right now, is there? No. So what is he talking about here? How does heaven suffer violence? How do you take heaven by force? He's talking about faith. Because faith allows you to storm heaven. It allows you to take heaven by force. To get what you want from God. Over and over, Jesus told his disciples that they can have whatever they want from God, right? He told the disciples that you can say to this mountain, "Be thou removed and cast into the sea," and it would be done, right? He told his disciples again, "Say to this mulberry tree, be plucked up by the roots and thrown into the sea, and it'll be done." He was telling the disciples that you can have whatever you want from heaven if you have the faith for it. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, to this tree, to whatever, "Be cast into the sea and it'll be done for you." He was giving them the key to getting whatever you want on earth by storming heaven with your faith. Because the disciples, they proved this. I mean, Peter, John, in the at the temple, as we spoke about last week, they went up to the man that was laying there begging for alms. They went up to him and said, "Stand upright on your feet." And he did. And then have you ever, when you read through the book of Acts, you find some really interesting stuff in there. Because Paul, he's on the island of Cyprus, and he's trying to share the gospel with the proconsul, who was the man in charge of the island of Cyprus. And yet there's this man named Elymas, he's a sorcerer, and he's going up to the proconsul and trying to convince him that everything that Paul is telling him is wrong and crazy. What does Paul do? Does Paul say, "Listen, Elymas, I'm just trying to have a friendly conversation with your boss here. Can you please just step aside and just let me talk to him for a little bit? Look, I'm a minister of the gospel, and I'm just trying to do my good deed for the day and to be of service to you, to your island, and to your leader." Is that what he says? No, he calls him a wicked person and commands him to be blind. And it says that immediately a mist came onto his eyes and he couldn't see. He went around groping and asking for someone to lead him. Paul caused a man to be blind. Is that a Christian thing to do? Apparently our perspective of what a Christian thing to do is a bit different than what the Bible actually says. You see, there's a difference of someone that doesn't believe in the gospel, which is a sinner, versus someone who's opposing the gospel. And that's proven so. I mean, look at when Ananias and Sapphira conspired against the Holy Spirit. What happened to them? "If you repent for your sins, if you repent for doing this thing, God will forgive you," right? That's what they told them, right? Wrong. "You're going to drop dead." Boom, drop dead. Wife comes back. "Hey, is this the price you agreed on?" "Yes." Boom. "The same people that buried your husband are coming to bury you." Boom, drops dead. That's not a Christian thing to do. It's not good church growth to kill people in your church, all right? So we have a different perspective of what Christianity is than what actual Christianity was in the Bible. But the point of that is that God told the disciples, Jesus told them, that you can have whatever you want, and that violent men are taking the kingdom of heaven by force. We're storming heaven with our faith. That's the only way that you're going to get anything out of heaven, is by faith. And here what John the Baptist was facing was doubt. Doubt will stop you. Faith will propel you forward. Amen? So, it's no longer time to sit around and hope that God does something. It's time for us to get up and do something. And that's the thing that too many Christians are missing, is they're waiting for God to do something in their life. Jesus has already done everything in our lives that he is able to do. He died on the cross for us and sent us the Holy Spirit. He's waiting for us to draw close to God. He's waiting for us to say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit, empower me by your Spirit, and then use me to share the gospel. Use me to impact this generation. Use me to be a witness to my family. Use me to bring healing, not just to my body, but to those people that are sick around me. Use me to bring prosperity into my family so that I can be a blessing to those around me. I'm just waiting on your timing for me to get healed. I'm waiting on you, Lord, to prosper me. I'm waiting on you, Lord. That's what too many Christians are doing, is they're just waiting on the Lord, for the Lord to just somehow do everything in their life. And again, as I've said before, that's why in most churches, in the bulletin, there's a list of sick people that never gets any shorter. That list starts out as 3 people. 5 years later, it's a full page. 10 years later, it's pretty much the bulletin is a list of sick people in the church that we're to pray for. And you go on Facebook, it happens all the time. I mean, I just got a message last night. Situation's going on, please pray. And everyone responds, praying. I don't believe it. Because what are you praying? Like when someone is, like when you find out that someone has cancer, right? You find out a family member has cancer and they're in the hospital and you share on Facebook, hey, let's get a prayer circle going. And then everyone writes, hey, I'm praying. What are they praying? What are you going to pray at home? Lord, you know, I pray that you send angels to go heal that person. Holy Spirit, go heal that person. Where did Jesus ever instruct the disciples to do that? He said, go out and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not sit at home typing, praying with the little hands emoji. Amen? Yeah. Sitting on your butt waiting for God to do something, saying praying isn't accomplishing anything. And the proof is in the pudding, for lack of a better expression, is that people don't get healed like that. People don't experience prosperity like that. I see it all the time where people say, you know, believe in God to pray or for my rent to come through this month and, you know, for a better job, blah, blah, blah. And it's month after month after month, nothing improves. God blesses the works of your hands. So until you get up and go out and apply for a job, until you go out and lay hands on the sick, until you get up and do something about it, nothing's going to happen. Because Jesus said that it's the kingdom of heaven suffers violent and violent men take it by force. They take the kingdom of heaven by force. They don't sit there and wait for the kingdom of heaven to come to them. They go out and they take it by faith. They go out and they lay hands on the sick and they command, just like Peter and John at the temple, to get up and walk. Amen? We're not just to sit around and wait for heaven to happen to us and hope that Jesus comes soon so that we can all go to glory and finally end our suffering here on earth. God has called us to greater than that. And the same anointing that was in the New Testament on those early believers is the same anointing that can be on you and me today. Amen? In the Old Testament, it was only prophets, priests, and kings that had the anointing. Today, it's all of us. That's why on the day of Pentecost, when there was 120 gathered in that room, how many of those were kings, priests, and prophets? I don't know of any. But the Holy Spirit came on them and anointed them to be empowered, to be supernaturally equipped to go out and to do the work of Jesus. We don't have to wait. We have to storm heaven with our faith and claim what is ours. Amen?